Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
I'm Joe DeGenerino, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 351. We got a new review, maybe one of our best reviews ever. So this is going to be dedicated to ShadDog24. So main thing is he mentioned that I was funny. So that's what I shoot for. All my picks may not hit, but I want most of my jokes to land. They don't land with my co-host ever, but at least some of our listeners do enjoy it. And it, basically he broke down, or I'm guessing it's the he, because only dudes listen to us. Basically breaks down what you get here. I usually make my picks more analytic, data driven, and Gumby does his off his extensive knowledge of the sport. So ShadDog24 knows what he's talking about. If you're in the Discord, reveal yourself, ShadDog. Let us know who you are so we can thank you. So anyhow, this episode goes out to him, because the easiest way to our hearts is through flattery, of course. So I'm one of the hosts, the one who brings humor to the podcast, or I try to, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. We're smack dab in the middle of a road to UFC week of episodes. So Monday, we kicked things off with the first road to UFC Shanghai, which is kicking off in Shanghai this weekend. Today, we're going to break down the Saturday, the second Saturday card. They have four different cards. So today will be the later in the day Saturday card, and then tomorrow's episode, Thursday, we'll break down the two Sunday cards. But I couldn't do this alone because I don't know enough about these fighters. So I'll bring in the brains of the operation, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, and I will tell you that sometimes I don't know some about these fighters. There's a couple I had to look up particularly on this card, including, well, I'm going to be real honest with you guys, including maybe the worst MMA fight I've ever watched in terms of skill level.
Wow, that goes, that takes you pretty far, because Gumby watches everything. That's why you can pretty much trust his picks, especially with the regional scene. Cause that's why I don't make picks, because I don't do the I can't be bothered to do the research like Gumby does. So if he's willing to do it, he enjoys it because he's a sicko, then so be it, and we'll all benefit from his picks. So really the worst MMA fight. Interesting. And one of the participants we'll be talking about very shortly, right?
Yeah, we will.
you weren't just watching it for the heck of it. All right. Interesting. And the main event, both fighters almost have the same name, which will be interesting as well.
Yeah. Kailu and Kylie.
Yep. Kailu and Kylie. You got it. Yeah. They could be twins. With names like that. So yeah, we're going to break down this fight. For those who don't know, actually go back an episode and you'll know what's going on. But yeah, UFC is running it's annual now, a tournament in Asia to get more Asian fighters into the promotion, usually for the lighter weight classes. The Saturday is all about the flyweights and the featherweights, tournament-wise, with one wild card fight on each of those cards as well. So we broke down yesterday's already. Gumby gave some hopefully big dogs once the official lines draw up. And today we will conclude the flyweights and the featherweight opening round of the tournament. After I tell you about Edge Boost, SGPN is excited to announce an exclusive early access partnership with Edge Boost, the world's first Buy Now, Pay Later Visa card. Similar to Buy Now, Pay Later programs like Affirm and Afterpay, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over 4 equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit. So you can use 2x the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances as you build a repayment history. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And our Edge Boost double down play of the day on all these episodes will be one of Gumby's picks. You can pick whatever of his road to UFC picks you like best, and you use the Edge Boost bonus on that. Unless he tells you he doesn't like the pick that he's making, which never happens, right?
I'll tell you which one. When we hit it, I'll give you a star and tell you this is the Edge Boost bonus.
Fantastic. A audio star. Okay. We're going to start things off with a welterweight fight. This one is not a tournament fight. This is just a wild card fight. Maybe they are looking to get one of these fighters into the UFC and they just want to give them a platform, for that. Gumby will let us know after I break it down. Taiyalake Nuraji. Taiyalake Nuraje. I think I said it better the first time. He's a Chinese fighter. He's going against a Korean, Han Sol Kim. As I said, this is welterweight, 3 5-minute rounds. We'll tell you about Kim first. Nickname is Spade. He's 13-4, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice. He was on last year's road to UFC and won his fight. So he's 1-0 on that, on this format. He was a regional champion in 2012. He's been a pro MMA fighter since. He's going to get up against Nuraji, Super Saiyan, you can call him. He's 8-1 with 7 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. He's won his last fight via TKO. He used to fight up at lightweight. He's an inch taller than Kim. He's got 2 inches of reach. And Gumby will tell you the rest of the info.
Yeah, so you mentioned that Kim was on road to the UFC last time. I think they do like him to the point where they're like, oh, let's see if we can't get him into the UFC, and I think he's going to be the favorite here, not just because he was on road to the UFC, but because he's just like a little bit more well-rounded. Let's say negative 215 for Kim here. So not a massive favorite, but a pretty sizable one. And I'm going to pick him because if you watch Nuraji, he's got good enough takedown defense, but when he's striking, he's one of those guys who like kind of leans forward a lot. Which just leaves his chin exposed in kind of a bad way. He's also really, really, really big for the division. He's tall, but he's not particularly good at like establishing range. Like he doesn't know how to use that length and use that height. And like, cause he's 6'4" or 6'3". I think he's like 6'3". But he doesn't really know how to use any of that height in like a meaningful way. So you see him like, you know, leaning too much, you see him trying to get into the clinch, you see him, and like all that doesn't make sense when you're like clearly the bigger guy. And against Hansel Kim, who's a guy who, you know, he's not small for the weight class either. He's like a pretty big guy. He trains out a Korean top team with Korean Zombie, and he's got like a nice double leg. He won by triangle armbar last time, and that was actually looking pretty good on the feet too. I just think like, if his grappling gets going, he's going to do really, really good. But even if it doesn't, he's just like, he's way sharper on the feet, way more technical on the feet. And I think that's going to play. So, yeah, give me Kim to start this one.
All right. Chalk to start off. Now we jump into the tournament fights. Flyweights, Jin Yu Shiyu, all one word. He's a Chinese fighter versus Billy Pasulatin, who is coming to us from the Philippines, I believe. Indonesia. Let me tell you about him. His nickname is Bruce Lee. So apparently he's second coming of Bruce Lee. He is 10-2, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted once, was a regional champion, used to fight down at atomweight. Jin Yu Shiyu, Little King Kong. So we got Little King Kong versus Bruce Lee, an epic battle here. He's 11-2, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's won 5 straight in 11 of 12. Used to fight up at bantamweight, and he's 2 inches taller than Bruce Lee, we'll call him.
Yeah, so I'm gonna start by saying this is maybe one of the fights that whoever wins this fight when they're in the finals of this tournament, or no, this is semifinals of this tournament, right? Because this is the other flyweight set of showdowns.
Right.
Just pick whoever they're about to fight, because I don't have a lot of faith in either of these two. I think Pastulatin is going to come in as a slight favorite. Let's say like -220 or -120 rather, to like +100 or +110 on the other side on Jinny Ushiu. And I just think he's going to be that, because if you like go back and you watch their fights, both of them have like looked good, but against like really shitty opponents. Like Pastulatin has fought bad opponents and just kind of like ran forward and threw hooks. And it was good enough to like knock people down. And then he follows up with ground and pound. Jinny Ushiu, same thing, has looked really good, but it was mostly like through some like decent single leg attempts and holding people down. And like, you sort of wonder, like, can he keep doing that? Similar to like, can a guy just run forward and throw hooks the whole time? And when it comes down to it, and you got to make your pick in two fighters who have fought kind of crappy competition and are, you know, doing the right things, but like not in a way that you feel, or I mean, I guess throwing hooks and leaning forward is not the right thing, but like they're doing well enough that you're like, oh yeah, they're serviceable. I'm always going to take the grappler here. So I'm going to take Jinny Ushiu. And I think he probably is just going to grind out a couple of rounds with the takedowns, especially because I think Pastulatin, and I don't really have much to go on here, but I really do think Pastulatin is the type of guy who is probably going to feel tired late in a fight. And I know he's gone five rounds. He fights for this promotion that's actually pretty easy to get film on. One Pride MMA fight nights. Which I think they're just trying to get as many buzzwords into it as they can. But yeah, like he went one five-round fight in that. But I just think the types of things that he does will tire him out a little bit more than Jinny Ushiu. So I'll take the slight dog, Jinny Ushiu.
One Pride MMA fight night. Just throw some UFC in there and they're all set, right?
Yeah, and maybe violence or like cage championships.
Just Bleed also. Fantastic. All right. Let's move up two-weight class, to featherweights. Kuya Kanda from Japan versus any other Chinese fighter, Yibujili. And like I said, these are featherweights, 3 5-minute rounds. Yibujili Eagle is the nickname. He's 22-11-1, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. He's won 6 straight fights in 11 of 12. Used to fight at lightweight. He's one of the men with a no age attached, mystery man. Kanda, 11-4 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He's won 3 straight fights in 6 of 7, and he's 2 years younger than the Eagle. That is it.
So I think Kanda is going to come in here as a pretty sizable favorite. We'll say like -225. And I am going to pick Kanda here. He's a really long guy. He fights very long. My lone concern about how long he fights is like he's got a good jab and like some good low leg kicks, but they're just like they're kind of slow. I don't really love how slow they are. And Yibujili, even I'm going to question my pronunciation there. Yibujili he's got good enough takedown defense, which I think is going to allow him to like keep the feet against Kanda if he does want to. But I do like just really worry about his striking, because it's weird in a way where he like, he just won't engage for really long periods of time. He'll just like back up and circle away, which is a really bad look on the judges' scorecards. But also just like, I think Kanda can just get at him with jabs and stuff like that. So I'm going to take Kanda here, decent favorite. I will tell you, I don't think he's bettable in this spot until you get him down to like -150. I think he's going to be way higher than that. I don't know that you'll ever get him at -150, but like that's where I would feel safe betting on him. So Kanda's the pick. Don't feel great about it.
All right. One thing we do all feel great about is our Shady Rays and Shady May promotion. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN. That will be us. For Shady May, not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last not all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they tell us it will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to shadyrays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off plus, 50% off two or more pairs of polarized shades. So it's 50% off, blah, blah, blah. Two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses, SGPN is the code. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady Made contest. All right, butchering of ad done. Go.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Down to flyweight fights. Next, Sumit Kumar from, I believe, India. I got to get better with the flags here. Yes. From India versus Seong Guk Choi from South Korea. Let me tell you about Choi first. He's 6-2, one knockout, one submission. He's been submitted once. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He's won 5 of his last 6 fights. He did lose his last fight via submission. Kumar is 4-0, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He used to fight up at bantamweight, and he's 4 years younger than Choi.
So remember I told you somebody was in the worst fight I've ever seen?
Yes.
Sumit Kumar was in one of the worst fights I've ever seen. No offense to Sumit Kumar or his opponent Arjun Kumar in that fight. But it was, put it this way, I want the 90 seconds of my life that fight lasted back, because it wasn't good. And it's also worth noting, when the UFC signed Sumit Kumar to fight on Road to the UFC, he was actually listed as 7-0. But Tapology has since taken 3 of his wins away for being under questionable circumstances. 3 of them they've taken away. And the one I watched that was really bad was apparently not one of them. In this fight, he comes out and he just like puts his hand on this guy's shoulders as part of what looks like, you know, sometimes somebody gets like one arm in on a takedown and just like pushes the shoulder for a takedown. He looks like he was going for that, but never got the leg, and the guy just falls down anyway. He's a 0-0 fighter. At one point in time, he knocked the guy down with like a shove, and while the guy was on the ground, he kicked him in the head with a soccer kick, and then they just restarted the fight 30 seconds later, and then he knocked him out anyway with some really wild-looking punches. So Kumar is not, I don't think, very good. And if you go back and you look at Sung Guk Choi, I thought Sung Guk Choi was on his way to winning that fight with Hyung Sung Park in the finale. So he was in, quote unquote, in the UFC. He was one of my dog picks that week. I remember vividly. I think he might have even been my dog of the week. His only losses so far have been to Hyung Sung Park in that fight that, like I said, I think he was winning until he got submitted. And Steven Ersig, who I know we've talked about on the show, was going to be on Contender Series last year, was supposed to fight Clayton Carpenter soon. I think just Choi is going to be better everywhere. He hits really hard. He's got a really nice right hand. He counters well. I don't think Kumar is going to get even close to him with that wild striking. The odds, it should be negative 500, but honestly, I don't think it will be much higher than like negative 250 to start. I think it'll get bet up, but probably negative 250 to start. And just like, this is your edge boost moment right here. Get in on Sungkook Choi. Get in on it, whatever the price is. If it starts getting too high, feel free to throw it in a parlay. But like, he should beat the ever-living hell out of Sumit Kumar.
I was hoping after that you were going to say Kumar was a pick, but sadly. All right, main event time. Featherweights. Kaiwen Lee versus Kai Lu. So we got Kai Lee versus Kai Lu. They're both from China, and they are both fighting at featherweights here. All right. Kai Lee, the last... is he Lee or Lucy? I'm confused. Are you Lu? Kai Lu is the last gladiator. 8-4. 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 1-1 on the road to UFC. He's got 2-1 over his last 3. He lost his last fight via knockout. He's fight at lightweight, and he's 3 inches taller than Kaiwen Lee. Kaiwen Lee is the underdog. We'll just have to find out if he really is here. He's 10-5, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 3 times. 4-1 over his last 5. He did win his last fight via TKO. That was back in December of 2021. Sorry, that he lost his last fight, via TKO. That was December 2021. He's not won a fight since November 2019, but he's 9-3-1 championship, which we know is the biggest promotion in the history of MMA. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be the underdog here. It's a cute nickname, but I don't think he'd be the underdog. He fought some pretty legit dudes in 1FC, too. He fought Fabricio Andrade. He fought Martin Wynn, who's pretty good. And I know if you're not a... a grappling or jiu-jitsu or MMA nerd where you've known everything, you wouldn't like see these names and be like, oh, all right. But like, he's got a nice double leg. He's really light on the feet. If you throw a leg kick at him, he counters over the top with a left straight. Really nice. If you back him up because you're like aggressive, this is Kaiwen Lee. If you back him up, he throws these big hooks and he's got knockout power as he's moving backwards. Kai Lu, my big issue with Kai Lu is that two things. First of all, he's obviously much slower than Lee. And in addition to that, his hands just never come back to his chin right away. They like come back to his shoulder and then slowly move their way back to his chin, which means he's set up for counters. And as I just said with Lee, like, he's got a good counter left. He's got power when he's backing up. And Kai Lu just got knocked out, like just very recently got knocked out. I guess not very recently. That was all the way back in October. But, like, he was knocked out on road to the UFC with a big right hook. I think there's plenty of reason to that believe that's going to happen to Kai Lu again. So give me Kaiwen Lee. And I will say, if you're going to ask me for odds, this is one of the hardest ones to pick. Because, like, Lu is the more notable name based on, like, being in the UFC sphere. But there's a 1FC there, and I don't know if that will play into the bias. But Lee should be a massive favorite. I'll say he only winds up like -185.
-185 for Kaiwen Lee. It's Dan's final pick of this episode. He also has Choi, probably is a pretty big favorite. Kanda is a pretty big favorite. Shiyu, hopefully as a underdog. And to open up, you took Kim as a favorite. So this one is far more chalky than yesterday's episode, but them's the breaks. We're not done. Well, we're done for this episode. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, to finish up our road to UFC week. We'll break down both of the Sunday fight cards. I forgot to tell you all the info on this one. This one that we just broke down is Saturday. It's the second Saturday card. It's starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. The first Saturday card is starting at 6 Eastern. It's on the UFC Fight Pass, of course, and it's going down for the UFC Performance Institute in Shanghai, China. So now you got all that. You know where to watch it after you bet on it. Given the Discord, I'm sure there'll be plenty of freaks in there talking about this early morning. These early morning fights, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, Twitter, SGP and MMA, Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox writer. They're the handles you need to know. Listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Gumby's is probably in your feed as we speak, if you subscribe to it. So make sure you listen to that. You can get me in your email inbox pretty much daily with MMA writings and whatnot at moneymma.substack.com. Give it a subscribe. And everything Sports Gambling Podcast is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So we will be back tomorrow. Until then, I will remain Kai Lu, Jeff Fox, my co-host, Kaiwen Lee. Gumby Vreeland will be back as well. Bye-bye.